Today's episode is brought to you by the San Francisco Department of Dirigibles. Because you know you're living in the future with metal pickles in the sky. Only the second time you've been on, isn't it?
Yep. The last time was the Disney, or Disney Top 10 or whatever, and all that stuff.
Okay.
That's why I've only been on one time, because I interrupted you.
Damn it!
Alright, being quiet now.
This is the Keith Show, starring Keith. I'm Keith. Ryan's interrupting me, so let's just get going. And
I so wanted to interrupt you again, just to be a jerk. But
the interrupting cow, moo. We're going to be talking about big... you guys know Ryan. He's been here before. Say hi.
Are they supposed to say hi to me, or I'm supposed to say hi to them?
Well, if they can say hi to you, I'd...
Hi, audience, listener, people. Alan, Barb. Who else listens to your show, we know?
That's about it.
Okay. Hi, Alan and Barb. Oh, Dean. Hi, Dean. Yeah. All right.
Let's see.
I hope none of you are making cookies, because Keith will put you on blast. No.
That's right. Did I get cookies? No.
Mm-mm. You wouldn't want any of those cookies anyway.
Why?
They're made from a mix, and like I did two batches, and both batches came out completely different. So that wasn't a good sign.
Right.
So I sent them to,
You would not make a good housewife.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. So I sent them to my daughter's school. I said, "Enjoy those, honey."
Only 13 children died.
You know, that's still less than half the class, so that's a win.
Big classes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about Big Hero 6, the sort of Marvel movie, sort of Disney movie.
Mostly Disney.
Say it was Disney taking a Marvel property and making it a film, which is exactly what they did. So you could say that.
Yeah. It was a magical approach at a Marvel movie, yes.
Yes. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the recent casting announcements that Marvel has thrown down the pike at us.
Mm-hmm. There's been at least a couple.
Yeah, they have officially confirmed Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. The Cumberbatch compels you. I like it. Next. No, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Kristen Ritter has been cast as Jessica Jones for the Netflix show.
I don't know too much about her, but from looks of her, and all, I was like, yeah, I can see it.
I don't know if it's officially been confirmed yet or not, but people are saying that somebody named Mike Coulter... It's pretty much guaranteed to be playing Luke Cage.
Yeah, I saw his picture. I can see it.
He looks like Luke Cage.
Yep.
They
I guess the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool thing is a done deal, or pretty close to being a done deal.
Pretty much. A couple of people who Marvel had meetings with about playing the Ancient One today.
About playing what?
The Ancient One.
Oh, really?
Morgan Freeman.
Is that what Al Pacino's talking to Marvel about?
I don't know. It's possible. I wouldn't put him in that role, though.
Yeah, I still think he should be the Stranger.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yep.
they apparently met with Ken Watanabe. Apparently just everyone who was in Batman Begins. Bill Nighy. Not the science guy, the British actor.
Yeah. I hope Pacino does end up in the next Guardians of the Galaxy, because that'd be great.
Apparently he loved it, so...
Hey, Star-Lord! That's as good as it gets.
You haven't drank enough yet.
No, let me work on that.
There's also been the prevailing rumors coming around from the Sony hack that we're like this close to the Spider-Man rights.
Yeah, holding your fingers very close together.
Yes, yes. You can picture that in your mind's eye.
Yeah. I saw you posted the thing. They said they may, you know, get rid of the current Peter Parker. So well, my question to you would be then, who, if you could pick any actor, would be your ideal Peter Parker? Cast him now, Keith Cuddy.
Off the top of my head?
Yes.
Logan Lerman.
I'm not familiar, but that's not...
I'll get you a picture.
Google it. I have Google right here.
Fine. He was in...
There he is. He looks
Perks
Peter Parker.
Of Being a Wallflower. He's got kind of the nerdy kind of look.
Okay. He's 22. That works.
Yeah.
All right. Does he do the sarcastic comedy well?
He probably could, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll co-sign.
Yeah, there you
are. Lerman, let's start the whole internet whatever now.
Campaign,
yes. But how would that play out, though, if he shows up in Avengers being so much younger?
Than the other Avengers?
Yeah.
That would be pretty accurate, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would kind of be more like the kind of the Ultimate Spider-Man kind of deal, where he is a young guy.
Well, adult. He started out as a teenager.
That's right.
So, I mean, it works.
Yep.
Excuse me. Apparently, they were really, really close to sorting out a deal, but the sticking point was Marvel having creative control.
Which there are so many, I'd be like, you know what? If we can do nothing and just get money from whatever you do, go ahead.
Well, apparently, Sony Japan, the parent company, is furious that the talks broke down because of that reason. Wait, we don't have to do anything except throw a little money at this.
And make
millions and millions. And potentially money on the Avengers franchise, too.
Yeah.
Sony right now is hemorrhaging money crazy. Yeah. They need to do something, and people have been less than pleased with the Amazing Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
So... if the hack is to be believed, Sony Japan is pretty close to putting their foot down and saying, deal with Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it would be a great Christmas gift for me.
Merry Christmas, Keith. You get Spider-Man.
I know. That would be awesome. But I digress.
Well, don't digress. So are they supposed to... Are we supposed to have an announcement? I heard like a Spidey Summit's coming up or something.
Yeah, apparently in January. They wanted them for Civil War.
Yeah. I still think they ought to do. And I said to you, but you know, the audience doesn't listen in our conversations, hopefully. Is that in Avengers 3, they ought to have, you know, Avengers fighting it out with Thanos. And just out of nowhere, Spider-Man just shows up and starts helping them. I think that would be a great way to introduce them.
Well, if they do this, if they get creative control, like shared control, chances are they'd have a film before then.
Well, that's the boring way to go about it, but okay. You gotta do it by the textbook, I guess.
No.
Like, can you at least just, like, how cool would it be just to introduce a major hero like that? You know, just right in the middle of the action. Be like, oh, crap, Spider-Man just showed up to fight. And then go to his backstory. You know, like, I don't know.
But apparently, the thing that Marvel wants to do is wipe the slate clean.
of Spider-Man.
Which, yeah, which, okay. I mean...
So let's not wipe all the slate clean, because their slate's pretty good right now.
No, 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 the Spider-Man slate. They, right. Which, you know, they would have to, to integrate it. They would want to have the films have less of a focus on romance, because there's been so much of the focus on has been on that the past five.
And more on what?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool action.
I think it should be more on the just the dual identity of him, like being a teenager and having to balance life with superherodom.
Yeah, and apparently they weren't planning on doing an origin.
Yeah, that, yeah, you don't need to at this point.
People know the origin, you don't. You can allude to it.
Yep. And I was trying to think like what villain I would want, but and I kind of still want a real Lizard, because I don't think the Lizard we got was really the Lizard, but...
Did you ever see the second one?
What?
Amazing Spider-Man 2?
No, I didn't watch that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But, so if I had to pick someone that hasn't shown up yet, I would like to see Kraven the Hunter.
Is Kraven big enough to carry a movie?
If done right, yeah.
I want to see Swarm.
Swarm?
Swarm
is... More people know Kraven over the Swarm.
Swarm is bananas.
Yeah, but more people, you know, I don't know.
Actually...
What about the Vulture?
You know what they could do?
What's that?
Kingpin.
If they
just
are going to...
Like, from the Daredevil show on Netflix.
Yeah, that would work. The other thing I was thinking, though, is now that we've had Falcon and the Avengers, and if you know they do get Spider-Man, then you could actually make up some story where they someone got their hand on, like, you know, Falcon-type tech, and that's how Vulture comes into being.
That would make sense.
It would. I like things that make sense, even in a universe where you're supposed to suspend disbelief.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you can't do Venom in the first one.
No. Although with Thanos coming in, all the, you know, kind of sci-fi stuff, you know, introducing Venom the way he was originally introduced would be easier.
It would be, yes, but you just couldn't do it in a first movie.
Yeah.
For narrative reasons.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, the way to go is maybe do Kingpin. Have him have some, like, super goons. Like Electro or...
What about Rhino? The Enforcers? You could have the Enforcers.
Easily, yeah.
Yep. I don't think they'll ever have the Shocker as a villain, because, you know, the jokes would just write themselves.
Well, I mean, they could give him a different name, call him the Vibrator.
Yeah, that'll help. Good thinking there, Keith.
Yeah. You can't do Norman Osborn for the first movie because people are expecting that.
Could you do the Hobgoblin, or will like the people who are casual fans go, "Who the heck is this fake Green Goblin?"
Well, I don't know. Like in the cartoon from the 90s, the Hobgoblin came first. That's who you do. You do the Spot.
No. You might as well just say Rocket Racer.
Dude, you imagine the crazy stuff they could do with the Spot on screen, though. The Prowler. There you are. There's your villain.
Tarantula.
Stiltman. No, he's a Daredevil villain.
No, he fought Spider-Man, too. I was just about to say, though, Stiltman better show up on that Daredevil show. That's all I
don't think he is.
Come on, he's a villain on stilts. What part do we understand?
Okay, here's a Newsarama article. The 10 worst of AZ Spider-Man villains ever.
All right. Rocket Racer has to be on there, right?
The Looter.
The Looter. And he doesn't play the loot. He actually...
The Spot.
There you go.
The Iguana. I don't even remember.
That's the Lizard's cousin. They called him Iggy at family reunions.
Oh, apparently he was tied into the Lizard somehow.
See?
Oh no, they'd have put Swarm on this list. Come on! Swarm's awesome.
Who else is on there? Come on. We have to fill time with this show. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. Kangaroo.
Kangaroo! Does he have boxing gloves? Because that would be awesome. Just like the one on Looney Tunes or the video game?
No, he just jumps.
Oh, come on. We can get Batroc to Leaper for that.
Stegron.
Who's Stegron?
He's another lizard spinoff.
S-T-E-G-R-O-N?
S-T-E-G-R-O-N. He's like dinosaur.
Oh, yeah, you're like a Stegosaurus, man. Okay, hey.
Spider Side!
Spider Side?
Yeah, from the Clone Saga.
No, I didn't really watch it. I ignored the Clone Saga for good reason.
Sticks and Stone.
Yes. Did they break his bones? But then the villain called Words never could hurt him.
No, this guy is the worst. No.
Oh, yes, I remember Sticks and Stone because they showed up in the McFarlane.
Gray Goblin. Yeah.
The Gray Goblin. Is he like the Gray Gargoyle and the Green Goblin?
He's from that whole arc, Sin's Past arc.
Yeah.
Which is maybe the most compelling reason I can think of for a line-wide reboot after Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Just to eliminate the Sin's Past story arc. It was that bad.
Yeah. Actually, the gray Goblin, actually, I think looks better than the Green Goblin.
But gray.
Yeah, I mean, visually he looks nicer, but, yeah.
And Big Wheel.
Big Wheel? Does he ride on a Big Wheel? Because that would be awesome.
You don't know Big Wheel?
No. Obviously not. I'm Googling it, though, but all it's showing me is kids on big wheels, which is not the same thing. I'm going to try Spider-Man.
Yeah, big wheel Spider-Man, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, riding on, like, the carousel with the... That's funny. No Rocket Racer, huh?
And his name is Jackson Wheel.
Well, yeah. No Rocket Racer?
No Rocket Racer. Oh. How is Rocket Racer worse... better than Swarm? Come on.
Just Google Rocket Racer and look at a picture of him. That's all.
I know who Rocket Racer is.
He's wearing the sunglasses that old bus drivers wear.
This is the list of worst Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awful. He's got a rocket.
How did he not make this list?
Yeah, he's got a skateboard with rocket packs on it.
I don't know. Okay, I just Googled 10 greatest Spider-Man villains.
Yeah, let's go there. He does have, like... I like Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery as much as probably any... I like more than Batman's and more than...
Okay, they have the Jackal? No. We're not doing that for a movie.
Are you looking on, like, some...
This is Newsarama again.
There you go. You
Hobgoblin. Sandman. Chameleon. Chameleon could be...
Chameleon would be good.
But they kind of tread that ground a little bit already.
Oh, you know who they could do? I just found her on a list. Because, just for the sex appeal is Black Cat.
But she can't be a full movie villain is the thing.
Well, initially she could.
Yeah, Kingpin they have. Mysterio.
Yeah, but for the movies you'd have to do something with the fishbowl thing.
Well, yeah. They'd probably do what they did for visually with Ultimate Mysterio.
Uh-huh.
Google that image. It's actually pretty cool.
I will. Hold on. I'm looking at a different list here. Actually, one of these had a good person. What was it, though? Now I lost my train of thought here. Oh, yeah. What about Morbius?
Nah.
Okay, fine. Oh, Scorpion? Mm-hmm. Scorpion's a good one.
Scorpion could work. How about just the Slayers?
Yeah, you have to do the Scorpion, though, that's got the sharp blade on his tail, not the big clumpy tail. You gotta do the sharp tail Scorpion. Kraven the Hunter is number 5 on the list. The top 5 on the list I'm looking at, which is from a better source than Newsarama, is Kraven the Hunter at 5.
The Kingpin, Newsarama has him at 4.
And Kingpin at 4. Venom at 3. Venom Green Goblin at 2, and Doc Ock at 1.
I don't know, I think we could do another Doc Ock. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough act to follow. Alfred Molina's Doc Ock was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could do it.
I say Kraven, Vulture, or Scorpion. Those are going to be my three that I vote for.
I actually only have one real request for if they do it. Bring back J.K. Simmons as Jameson.
Yeah, he was a great Jameson. He was. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Okay. You ready to bear down for midterms on this main topic?
If you want.
No, I don't want.
I like talking hypothetically about the Spider-Man movie universe, too. It's fine.
Okay, fine.
It's your show. We'll do all the things that you want to do.
It wouldn't have anything to do with Spider-Man's parents, I tell you that.
No. Yeah. Let's get Betty White as Aunt May. No, I'm kidding.
No, she's actually a little too old now.
Yeah, she is. I'd be afraid that she wouldn't make it to see the launch. I shouldn't say that.
She's like 92.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's not unrealistic. Yes. And to think that she's his not great aunt, regular aunt.
Yeah. Yep, so you gotta get someone like if you're gonna have a 22-year-old, you gotta get someone like in their, like, you know, 50s, kind of, like, early to mid-50s, maybe.
Yeah.
Late 40s, maybe. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Like, Sally Field was about the right age range.
Yeah, but she's not the Aunt May you think of.
No.
Yeah.
And they're right not to not want to do an origin story again, because you're not going to find a better Uncle Ben than Cliff Robertson.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
No. I don't know.
All right.
That'll be my next pitch. I'll pitch the first, we'll call it, what, Marvel Spider-Man or?
Sure.
Spectacular Spider-Man, maybe.
Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah. And yeah. All
right, let's travel into San Francisco, I guess.
San Francisco, where underground robot fights are the crime of the day.
Yes. But I guess before you travel to San Francisco, Tokyo, do you want to touch on
perhaps
the little...
on the history of...
Well, how does it touch on the little short before the main event?
Oh, the what'd you think absolutely of charming...
Yeah, it was just super cute. Huh?
I loved they kept the camera on the ground, basically, yeah. And...
It was all from the dog's point of view, yeah.
That was a very smart choice, and I don't know, it was... Disney has just been knocking it out of the park with their shorts.
Yep.
And I'm glad that they've brought shorts back before features.
Yeah. And this one wasn't one of my favorites, but it was still really, really good. But
I still think it has potential to pick up Oscar for best animated short, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, just
dogs... the art style on its own.
Yeah, I mean, just the way the dog, like, emoted and the expressions and movements were, like, dead on, you know, so it was, yeah, it had enough of a story to, in that short time, that make you care, so that was cool. I dug it.
Okay, so Big Hero 6 started out as a comic for Marvel. Let me pull up the wiki so I have accurate information.
Now take that information and tear it up and pretend like you still know.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, you know Fox is going to use this. They were like, how come no one threw a big deal about Big Hero 6?
because you didn't have Baymax be a computer hacker. It's just...
Nope. All right, I will get you started down the Fantastic Four road. A stick in your
head. You know, suddenly Rise of the Silver Surfer doesn't look so bad, huh?
Yeah.
I am getting only the wiki for the film. Figure of Six comic book. This is awesome podcasting right here. Okay.
Chris Claremont or Man of Action or whatever. Yeah, all of it.
Created by Stephen T. Siegel and Duncan Rollo.
Yes.
Big Hero 6 for his first intended to appear in Alpha Flight number 17, but they got their first, they got a self-titled three-issue miniseries by writer Scott Lobdell instead, with artist Gus Vasquez.
Mm-hmm. Scott Lobdell was the guy who did all the X-Men stuff with Jim Lee back in the day.
Holofoil.
Break out your hollow foil covers. So let me just start with an easy question. We'll take it like big general terms and stuff. Like, what if you had to identify like one thing you really liked about the film? Like, your what was one thing, like one of your favorite things about it, and what was one of your least favorite things about it?
Okay, least favorite thing about it, the twist with the bad guy.
Yeah, are we doing spoilers, by the way?
Okay, spoilers. The twist with the bad guy, I don't think anyone was actually really surprised by it. It was basically a non-twist. They could probably have worked a little harder at that.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. Because like when it's happening, like even before the heroes start considering it, I was like, well, at first, you know, I was like, well, it's got to be the one guy who they... But as soon as they said... It's got to be him. I was like, well, it's not him now because they said it was him. So I was like, oh, it's got to be the other guy. And I was like, but why is it him? I said, that makes no sense whatsoever. So.
Well, yeah. Then they explained it.
Well, yeah. I just wish they would have gave us more candidates, possible culprits.
Yeah.
To make it more of a mystery in that regard. Because it was basically you had a choice of two people. And
yeah.
You know, they lead you and to think it's the one guy. And one was the
really obvious one. So it's right. Like, it can't be that guy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Actually, something that, if you think about it, his big presentation to get into the Science Academy mm-hmm. was the Microbots, mm-hmm. and then it gets him enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, with just that invention, he doesn't need that place. He's yeah. set for life after that. Yeah. He changed the world.
Yep.
So,
here, I made the best invention ever in the history of the world and everything, and I want
to
go school.
Can I please come to school here?
Yeah.
No. He just became a billionaire overnight.
Right.
He doesn't have to work a day in his life ever again.
Yep.
But as far as what I really liked, I mean, come on, Baymax.
Yeah. I was gonna say, actually, like Baymax and Hero, those two characters together are just like the heart of the whole movie. And they're like at first I was like, Baymax is a great character, but the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, like Hero is like an awesome character too, like very well rounded, and you understand his motivations, and definitely. I think Baymax overshadows Hero a little bit for obvious reasons, because Baymax is awesome.
He's like instantly marketable.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I wouldn't lose sight of Hero, because I think he's pretty.
Because he's the hero of the story.
Yeah. And I hope when the inevitable sequel happens that they will focus on some of the other characters too. Uh-huh. Flesh them out a little too.
Yeah.
But they gave us enough.
Yeah. They made them all based on like different gadgets instead of what they were in the comics, which was a variety of different sources for their powers, which works. Right. It sticks with the kind of futury,
yeah,
tech-based stuff.
Yeah. Go-Go was pretty close in her powers and all that. And then Honey Ginger, you know, she Honey Lemon does pull stuff out of her purse, but it was more than just those, you know, chemical balls.
Yeah, in the comics it was like a interdimensional portal.
Yeah, she could basically pull whatever she wanted to out of there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun, but yeah.
It was interesting, the design of Baymax being a basically a caretaker robot.
Yeah.
Is actually not that far out of line with a lot of what the robots that are in development in Japan are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have an aging population. And they're finding that they're needing, like, home healthcare workers more and more. So a lot of different technology companies are trying to develop, like, a home healthcare robot.
Yeah.
And the idea of the inflatable thing, it's an interesting solution to, like, bodying it.
Yeah.
Makes it nice and friendly looking. Like a big marshmallow.
Yeah. I read on the IMDb trivia stuff that apparently he's inspired by soft robotics research at Carnegie Mellon. So there you go. And I'm guessing pretty much anything. Disney being what they are, they probably actually took field trips to MIT and wherever else, you know, brains are, and just kind of got some ideas about different stuff.
It makes a lot of sense because a lot of the Imagineering for the parks comes directly from Carnegie Mellon. So they have a pre-existing relationship with them.
Yep. They are good about doing that. And I'm sure they, you know, research speed skaters just to get Go-Go Tamago stuff perfect and all that. So.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Very cool.
This was actually, from what I understand, Disney's most diverse film, like, that's ethnically
true. Yeah, that's true. I guess it's good that I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. It was cool. That's all I can say about it.
Yeah, it's good. Heartwarming.
There was one thought I had, but I don't remember what it was. It was something about playing up the Asian aspect of, it was like, can we now, between the TV series Heroes and this, can we stop making any Asian protagonist named Hero? can this be the last time that happens?
Well, it's a very common Japanese name.
I know, but anytime there's, you know, an Asian superhero type thing, can we just, you know, say, no, it's been done, and
actually, I want to talk about, that reminded me, the city of San Francisco itself, the design of it.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. It basically looked like San Francisco's geography and stuff with lots of Tokyo-inspired elements all over it.
Yeah, the Zeppelins and stuff.
Yeah. How much sense does that make?
Oh, actually, it makes a lot of sense because it's similar to, have you heard about the Google balloons that Google is developing?
No.
They would essentially be Wi-Fi hotspots.
Oh, yeah.
They could float over anywhere on Earth.
And be free advertising.
Yep.
Woohoo.
So if you think about it, in a culture like that where everything's all sleek and high-tech and futury, there probably would be, like, Wi-Fi hotspot balloons running over the entire city.
But, I mean, it's basically just like a aerial wind farm that powered the city, which is awesome. I mean, the only thing would be, like, how you keep them airborne and all that, but...
Well, yeah. Once they're inflated, if it's helium or hydrogen, if it's airtight, it would stay as long as it was tethered.
That's true. But those ones on the movie look like they're metal.
Yeah, but it could have been like a metal foil, like a foil metal. Even like the old Zeppelins that were for carrying passengers, they were skinned with metal.
But that was, it was a good idea, man.
I want to pick up the Art of book just to get a look at some of their production design stuff for the city.
Oh, yeah. I did notice, like, even when they went to the island where the big bad was the one time, they actually flew past, like, what would be Alcatraz, you know.
And, yeah, I saw that.
So I was like, oh, that's cool, there's Alcatraz.
And, I guess Disney developed a new software for their crowd scenes.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of the times in, like, films like this where they have a large crowd, there winds up being either a lack of detail shown on members of the crowd, or you wind up duplicating faces a lot. They figured out a new way of making it so that everyone in the city was unique.
Yep. You know, you would think with all the you know, different video games, even they have character generators and stuff like that, and you could just randomize, you know, that wouldn't be
That's pretty much exactly how it worked. You came in and you could just do a bunch of sliders and stuff. And
right.
I guess, like, pretty much everyone who worked for the studio appeared in the film because they just asked them to come in and make, like, an avatar for crowd scenes. It's a Marvel thing, sort of. So, of course, that means you stay through the credits.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to touch on the fact that you had the Easter egg even before that.
Yes.
That later on was touched on in the credits.
That Fred's father is Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And the post-credit sequence reveals that his father is actually already a superhero.
Yeah. And I hope they don't go any further with that whole angle.
No.
That's that was just done for fun.
It was just great to hear Stan Lee say the line, front.
Yeah.
Back, inside out, front and back.
Yep. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, this could be cool. I said, but I said, there's no way they would get Stan Lee to do voice acting for an entire movie. So, yeah.
I'll
keep this here.
They kept him in his cameo role. It's great. It's perfect.
Yep, I thought it was good. I mean, even when they first walked through, and obviously, like, through his house and saw the picture, I was like, oh, look, there's our Stan Lee thing. So that was cool. So, yeah.
Cool. Can you think of anything else that we should really touch on?
Sure. I have lots of things we can touch on.
Did you
spot or read about any of the other Easter eggs that were in it?
A couple. There were a lot of Japanese monster movie and robot movie posters.
Did you catch any other Disney Easter eggs?
I saw Stitch as an action figure, I think.
Yeah. Stitch, I guess one of the pictures in his Aunt Cass's house has the cat dressed up in a Stitch costume.
Here we are. Why don't I just pull up a list?
I can go over them too. But
Fine. Good.
In the police station, apparently you have a picture of Hans in the back from Frozen, the bad guy on Frozen. And also you have a picture of Flynn Rider with his nose wrong on it too. And also, I guess there's also a picture off to the side on his desk of Bolt.
Nice.
So all those are kind of cool. And also, I guess when they're at Fred's place and they first test the rocket fist and it destroys the statue, the statue is also of Hans from Frozen as well. So there you go.
Okay. Apparently the directors of Tangled were in a wanted poster also.
Who was?
The directors of Tangled.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
And I guess they're making, what's his name? Alan Tudyk. I guess he's like kind of the new... was it Ratzenberger of the Disney CGI, because he's done voices in the last three
He did the corporate guy in this, right?
I believe that's who he was, yeah. And then, like, but he also did voice in Frozen, and he did voice in Wreck-It Ralph, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is apparently a Wreck-It Ralph billboard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing, is when they're in Fred's place and they have all the arcade games, apparently there's a Sugar Rush game in there, too.
Nice. There's a Chicken Little advertisement.
Really?
Yep.
That's unfortunate.
There are Incredibles action figures in Fred's place.
Mm. Cool. Oh, and also, the witch from Brave is like in one of the family photos, I guess, in Aunt Cass's house.
Yeah. Apparently, Lockheed is one of his action figures, too.
Oh, that's cool.
His Fred's suit that he wears, his mascot suit for the school,
mm-hmm.
is very similar looking to the dragon that the actor rode, the actor's character rode in How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Hmm.
Let's see. What else?
Did you read anything about some of the other villains that were going to appear in this movie?
No, I hadn't.
So, besides the villain that we got, one of the deleted villains was a group called the Fujitas. And then, according to the aforementioned Big Hero 6 art book that you want, they're going to be a trio of deadly geisha women, each possessing a different weapon with movements inspired by the movements of snakes or koi fish.
Interesting. Maybe for the inevitable sequel.
Possibly. But there's also two others here, so see which one you think is your favorite. The second villain was going to be a Japanese TV talk show host named Mr. Sparkles, who is a childlike man devoted to world conquest.
Okay.
That one sounds weird. The last villains to be...
Well, deleted... I've seen some, like, clips of Japanese talk show hosts.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And nice. That could be...
Could work.
Yeah.
The last villain to be deleted is a group of jetpack flying pilots called the Banzai Bombers. However, all the listed villains ended up being excluded from the movie's plot with only Yokai... What is his name? Yokai? Is that it? Yokai? Yeah. Yeah. As the main focus.
I could see easily the trio of geisha women...
Yep.
In like an opening action sequence.
Well, let me tell you what.
Crazy talk show host being like the main villain.
Let me tell you what I think could be in it. This is my crazy idea.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Major spoilers. What if it is a evil Baymax that came out of a other dimension because he no longer has his chip in that keeps him from harming humans?
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, well.
I thought you were going to push for an Incredibles Big Hero 6 crossover.
Oh, no. I don't care if they don't cross over. But I was like, well, you have a Baymax floating in this, you know, kind of like a...
Wormhole type.
Yeah, wormhole universe, and he doesn't have his chip in that kind of gives him his moral compass. If he gets out and is anything like we saw for that short sample of time, now that could be interesting.
But he wasn't given explicitly an order to kill, though.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing is, too, I figured his battery will run down, so that won't be...
Yeah.
I kept waiting for Baymax's battery to run down at an inopportune time, because he only really got charged the once that we saw.
Very baby.
Yeah.
I like that when he got low in power, he just basically became drunk.
Mm-hmm.
We jumped out a window.
Yeah, yeah. That was funny. It was so good. Okay.
I enjoyed it mightily. It pretty much a movie designed for me as the target audience.
Yeah. I don't know that I told you. I think I told my brother, but last time I was on your podcast, we did our top 10 Disney, and I think just the one showing, it already jumped up to the top 5, if not the top 3.
Yeah. I don't know if it would have cracked top 3, but it's.
I think mine might be top 3. Like, I'm thinking, like, somewhere, like maybe two or three even.
I mean, you're competing against like 80 years of history, though.
I know, but I was just thinking like what I had up there, and I was like, yeah, I think this might be better than Hercules to me. You know, I think Hercules was my number three, and I was like, yeah.
What were your other two, Lion King and Jungle Book?
Lion King was one, and I forget if it was Jungle Book at two or Aladdin at two, I forget. You think I know, but my top ten changed, yeah, so. But so I would probably say definitely jumped Hercules, so I would say it probably is my, at least yeah, my third favorite Disney movie now. Not including Pixar, because we haven't talked about those yet.
Yeah. That'll be another episode.
That's right. If we had planned, you know, accordingly, we could have done it with this one, but oh well.
Eh. This isn't Pixar, though. We can do that when we do Inside Out.
That's right. Keep them wanting something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I am not very fast.
I guess we should wrap it up.
All right.
Make it a nice, sweet, and short one. But, well, yeah, then we can do some drawing after.
Oh, but... Okay.
Tell people where they can find you. You have a new t-shirt store thing.
Yeah, I do. You can go to tpublic.com and I guess you could search, but it's under Ryan King Art, all as one big conglomerated word. And right now there are currently 13 designs on there. But there shall be more very soon.
And the Facebook page is facebook.com/RyanKingArt?
Art of Ryan King.
Oh, you went and made it complicated. Nobody will remember that.
Sorry. facebook.com/Art of Ryan King. And on Twitter, which I don't post too much anymore, but occasionally, just Ryan King Art as well.
All right.
I think those are all the major places.
Cool, cool, cool.
This has been The Keith Show, starring Keith. Please follow us on Twitter at Keith Show Pod or like us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Our theme music is 8-Bit Dungeon Boss by Kevin MacLeod, provided by a Creative Commons license. The Keith Show is a proud member of the Deliberate Noise Network. For this and other great shows, visit DeliberateNoise.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.